This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
This is Varsity Letters, your British Columbia High School and University sports podcast, hosted by veteran Province sports reporter Howard Samura.
It's Thursday, October the 13th, and you're listening to another episode of Varsity Letters here on Province Sports Radio. I'm your host, Howard Samura, set to open Canada's only podcast dedicated solely to high school and university sports. Thank the MEI Screaming Eagles for our theme music generation next, as we get set to welcome two guests today on the program. Off the top, it will be Richard Scott, the head coach of the Notre Dame Jugglers football team of Vancouver. They're ranked number 5 in the province's Big 5 rankings, a huge game against number 1 ranked Mount Douglas set for Friday at Burnaby Lakes. As well, joining us on the program this week, it's Graham Thomas. He's the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds women's hockey team, silver medalist at the CIS National Championships a season ago, and set for a weekend at home to the visiting Calgary Dinos. Varsity Letters is back on the air. And back on Varsity Letters, our guest now is Richard Scott. He's the head coach of the Notre Dame Jugglers, the number 5 ranked AAA team in British Columbia, set to play host to the defending Subway Bowl champs, the number 1 ranked Mount Douglas Rams, on Friday at Burnaby Lakes, 5 o'clock the kickoff there. A big game for your program, coach. Just talk about the excitement level around the team, around the school right now for this nice 2-0 start by your Notre Dame football team.
Well, it's a big game, but we've taken a simple approach this year of just taking everything one game at a time. So we started off a little slow in our first game, and we've been building each week, and we're not really that concerned about opponent as we are about ourselves and getting better each week and tackling better each week and getting in better shape each week, and we seem to have done that so far, so we're on track as of right now.
Yeah, you talked about that opening game, Rich, and that was a 28-6 loss to St. Thomas More way back on September the 9th. You've won them all since, 4 straight. What have been the week-to-week improvements? What have you seen? Has it just been the guys becoming more comfortable, or is this a pretty experienced group together? They know what they're doing, and they do have some really good chemistry.
Well, they have great chemistry. They've all been playing with each other for 5 years, but that first game, I mean, if you're going to lose a game during the year, it might as well be the first one. Because you can learn from there, and you can learn a lot about your team and who's got the guts and what it takes to move on from there. And the guys were not happy, besides the fact it was STM, one of our rival schools, and they decided to work harder, and they decided to get their homework done, and they decided to make a commitment to go week to week and just worry about that opponent and get better.
Yeah, for sure you guys have gotten better. In the last 2 weeks, can you talk about the impact to these guys just in terms of them, you know, realizing all the hard work that they put in is starting to pay off? Because the last 2 weeks, the victories have been quite substantial. You've beaten a ranked New Westminster team a couple of weeks ago, 44-28, and then came back, and I believe it was your first road game, a 29-8 win against a perennially powerful South Delta team, 29-8 there. The last 2 weeks have been statement makers. Just talk about what that's all about for your guys.
Well, like going week to week, I mean, we just focus on that opponent. There's always history because these guys have played against each other for 5 years. They all know each other through social media, and there's a lot that goes on. And we've done a lot to really just focus our kids on staying away from the computer during the week, focusing on homework, and not getting into any kind of trash talk or any kind of locker room banter with anybody. Just worry about yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. That group has to worry about itself. And when they do that, they support each other better, and it's paid off.
It certainly has paid off. Richard Scott's our guest here on Varsity Letters. I wanted to ask you about a real special athlete. We've already featured him in the pages of the Province newspaper. Your quarterback, Stephen Moretto, is a true leader. I don't know if he's the kind of guy where you look at his stats and judge him on his numbers, but when you judge him on his productivity and getting your team and giving you guys a chance to win, he would appear to be one of the elite players in the province of BC this year.
Well, he's definitely one of the elite athletes. He's an all-around football player. I mean, he was injured in the first game against STM, and he didn't play in the second game because he was attending a baseball clinic in Toronto. but already he's fifth in the province in rushing. So that shows his determination as an all-around athlete. He's not just a good thrower. And more importantly is his presence. He's the true leader on the field. He tells people what to do and where to go. People follow him, and it's not a problem whatsoever. He doesn't have an enormous ego. He's just a true leader.
And you talked about the athletic prowess there. Can you talk about his play on the defensive side of the ball? He's a safety. He's one of the top three tacklers on your team right now, I believe. Can you talk about, you know, his abilities defensively and kind of how you measure that as a head coach when your starting quarterback, you know, is in a place where he's delivering hits on defense as well?
Well, it's nice to have that second coach on the field, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And while he's an excellent safety, we've moved him up to outside linebacker, and he's a force there and a presence because you have to account for him. And you have to see if he's blitzing or where he's covering or what he's doing. And he brings a load every time. I mean, he's going to hit somebody with everything he has. And it's a real nice, you know, nugget to have on your defensive side of the ball.
And how has he, we're talking about Steven Moretto here in terms of the baseball part of his dual sport career here in his senior year of high school, but obviously baseball, from what we understand, is going to be the sport he plays at the next level. Can you talk about how he balances, you know, baseball, football, homework, you know, recruiting, all of that kind of stuff in his senior year?
Well, what they did, the family did an excellent job last year. They spent most of last year doing most of the baseball recruiting stuff that he had to do. Because his dad, Rob, a Notre Dame grad and one of our coaches, wanted him to have his final year of high school football all about football. And so they've taken care of the business end of things in baseball. They've taken care of camps and trips and recruiting. And so he can just focus his last year of football being one of his most excitable experiences that you can have as a high school athlete.
That's exceptional. Hey, you've been at Notre Dame for so many years now, Richard. This is your sixth year with the senior varsity, 18 years prior to that with the junior varsity program at the school. I mean, this is like, you know, a quarter century of coaching at Notre Dame. And you must see these family connections. I mean, I don't think we see them, you know, to a greater degree in any program than we do, perhaps at Notre Dame. It might be the one school where you can really trace that family lineage. When you look at the guys that are in the program right now, perhaps some of those at the JV level right now, are there countless guys that you could say, hey, there's a father, a brother, an uncle, a dad, a grandfather? Like, is it quite easy to see those connections with so many of the players?
It's very easy. Our school has a massive connection through the alumni. We've got lots and lots of kids coming back into the neighborhood, and fathers and uncles and cousins, and all of those connections are very prevalent. You look at our grade 8 team, it's massively Notre Dame connected. The junior team is Notre Dame connected. The coaching staff that we have, over the number of people that we have, are Notre Dame connected grads and parents and alumni. It's always been that way since I got here, and it was that way before I got here. It's just a really connective community school.
And how much have you enjoyed your experience there? I mean, just, you know, football, obviously, it's a voluntary thing that you do. But can you just talk about, you know, how enriching it's been for a quarter century of your life to be coaching the kids at Notre Dame?
Well, it's been a great experience, because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. I would have gone a long time ago. I came here in 93. I got hired out of PDP at UBC. I got a job. I was excited. I was going to a great football program. I knew I was going to coach. And the school and the community have never given me a reason to say, you know, maybe I should go somewhere else. It's just that good of an experience. And when you have fun going to work, it's a good thing. If you're not having fun, you better go somewhere else. And then it's been nothing but fun, enjoyable coaching and teaching experience here.
And I know, as you've taken over for George Oswald as the head coach of that senior varsity program, Rich, I mean, there have been a couple of lean years here as you've gotten this program going and getting it, you know, into the provincial rankings, that type of a program. How tough has that been for you and your staff and the kids to put the foundation in that it looks like you guys really have in place right now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I take it year to year. I don't look at things, you know, over past years. We've had a couple lean years here and there. There's been different factors involved in that. But at the end of the day, any high school coach knows you play with what you got. And sometimes you just don't have enough guys to be in that upper echelon. And sometimes you do. Right now we do, and it's a very enjoyable experience. But these kids work hard no matter what. Even the teams that I had that just did not put up good records, we always put up a battle, and that's really all you can ask of high school kids.
And what about some of those guys that have been battling? Talk about your running backs. I believe that last name is, it's Joseph Santalucia and Bryce Pomaris as well, are guys that are carrying the ball for you, having pretty productive years. Moretto also obviously runs it well. But can you talk about those two other guys? I believe they've combined for 7 touchdowns this season. Just talk a bit about your running game.
Well, I mean, we're Notre Dame. We like to run the ball. And those are two completely different backs. Joe's a smaller guy, but he's tough as nails, and he gives you everything he has and every yard that he can. And Bryce is just a wrecking ball. I mean, he'd rather run over somebody than run around them, which we're trying to get out of him at this point. But he just goes and goes and goes until somebody or 5 other people bring him down. So it's a nice combination to have. It's a good changeup because you can bring Joe in and run certain plays with him, and you can bring Bryce in and batter it up in the middle and just start to wear the opponent out, which is what he's really good at.
And on your defense as well, looking at some of those numbers, and the linebackers obviously very productive for you this year. Brendan Woodman, 36 tackles already in the 5 games, 2 interceptions, returned 1 for a touchdown. Dylan Rachel, 22 tackles, and Pomaris as well there with 16 tackles, and of course Moretto there at the safety. But your linebacking core has been a pretty productive part of your defense, and obviously that's a must, but can you talk about those guys and how impactful they've been defensively?
Well, I mean, the linebackers are the core of your defense, and Brendan Woodman actually has 2 interceptions, and he got them on back-to-back plays, which I'd never actually ever seen in high school football, and he scored on both of them, so that was kind of cool. But Brendan's been very good, and he's very diligent and very smart, and what we've been blessed with now is we've got Mario Morrow back. He's been injured since the playoff game last year with a knee problem, so we had him back for his first game against South Delta. And he was voted the grade 11 player of the year last year. So that's a significant difference in the middle to stop the run game.
It certainly is. And we're talking with Richard Scott about Notre Dame. And I won't jump all over the place with you, Coach, because I know you're a one game at a time kind of coach here. Mount Douglas, can you talk about, you know, what Mark Townsend has established in Victoria over the last, half decade plus of excellence, winning Subway Bowl titles? And, I don't know if many people thought they were going to be an undefeated team by this point of the season, but they've been very productive with a young quarterback. Can you talk about, what you guys are up against or what you're going to be facing on Friday when they come over?
Well, to my kids, I just said, listen, you're up against the 4-time defending champ, and they haven't lost a game yet. You don't need much more motivation than that. They're an extraordinarily well-coached team. Their quarterback is outstanding. They've got an excellent receiver, and they have excellent chemistry together. And number 10 for them is a hard guy to tackle. So we've got to be very, very disciplined in what we do defensively to try and curtail what these guys are doing, because they're going to get a catch, and they're going to get a big play. But at the end of the day, if we can physically outdo them, we'll be okay.
Well, I heard about the weather this weekend. We're talking here on a Wednesday as we pre-record here for a Thursday release, and the skies are nice and blue and everything's all hunky-dory. But from what you're hearing, there could be some issues weather-wise. Can you fill us in on what could possibly happen, prior to this 5:00 game at Burnaby Lake on Friday?
Well, all we can do is cross our fingers, because there is a storm front coming in, and with the ferries, they can cancel ferry reservations at the drop of a hat, and you just never know. So that's the only difficulty when you're playing an island team and you come up against a storm front. So we hope that all is good, and the JVs are actually, we're playing a doubleheader with their JVs, so we hope that both teams make it over and make it home safely.
Well, it is going to be a fun one to watch if you're a fan of Notre Dame football from way back when, or if you're just a BC High School football fan. 5:00 on Friday for the Senior Varsity Showcase game. Notre Dame at Burnaby Lakes will take on number 1 ranked Mount Douglas, 2 top 5 teams set to go. Rich, congratulations on the great job you've done with Notre Dame football. Great to see Notre Dame football in the top 5 again in BC and getting some big wins the last couple of weeks. All the best to your guys on Friday, and we'll be keeping in touch, but thanks for joining us on the program this week.
Not a problem, Howard, and as usual, from all the high school coaches, you do an outstanding job every week for everybody, so we appreciate you greatly.
All right, thanks so much. That's Richard Scott. And welcome back, everybody, to Varsity Letters. Our guest on the line now is the head coach of the UBC women's hockey team. It's Graham Thomas, now in his 5th season with the Thunderbirds. Coach, thanks for joining us this week on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Howard.
Hey, talk about UBC women's hockey. You guys got your Canada West season underway. I know you wanted to take both games last week. It was a split. You're coming off a CIS silver medal from last year. Just talk about the opening weekend and bring our listeners up to date on the first weekend of UBC women's hockey.
Yeah, we've had a really good start. It was our first loss of the season on Saturday, kind of a difficult, different game, some bounces and all that. Sounds like I'm making excuses right off the bat, but no, we're looking good. I think we're really deep. We've got some excellent young recruits that have come in. We've got a really solid leadership group and senior class. We've got 9 of them this year graduating. So, a lot of really strong leadership there. A lot of things that this group of players are a 5 of those seniors have been with me when I first started here at the program. So it's a special year that way. I would like nothing better to see them have some success again this season. But we've got some NCAA transfers that have come in. So we've got a really deep, really strong team. So we're really excited about the season. We came in from the coaches' preseason poll, ranked number 1. And the top 10 rankings haven't come out yet. But we feel, we'll remain high, hopefully, in that ranking. So we've kind of continued to build this program to be one of the best teams in Canada and eventually getting it up in that mix in North America as well. So a really good off season, a really good preseason, and we're just really excited to get this season going.
Yeah, and what you talk about that group of seniors that you have coming back this season. That certainly is such a huge factor in what you guys are potentially able to do this season. When you brought that class in your first season, and that would have been 2012-13, and everybody remembers that as what I think it was like the greatest turnaround of any CIS program across all sports ever. It was such an incredible awakening for UBC women's hockey. What were your kind of thoughts with that original recruiting class and what they could potentially become by their fifth year?
Yeah, and to be honest, some of them I didn't recruit all of that class. My first full recruiting class would be that, our fourth years right now. And we've had some players join from transfers or from other situations to join our team to make up that senior class, that larger senior class of 9. But some of them I did recruit and some of them I didn't know. But to be honest, I don't want to take all credit for that class. They were kind of already coming here. A lot of them, I got the job late in the summer. But as far as where we've gone and everything we've done, they've been an integral part of changing the culture here. They've bought into everything that we're selling here as far as in the coaching staff and the development of the program. And I think as any coach would tell you, the success for us is, it starts at the top and our leaders, we've really worked hard at developing them. They've had a ton of potential, but they've really bought in. They've really looked at themselves to challenge themselves and be accountable and to get better. And that's been a big part. So they've grown a ton and, we're at a place now where our seniors are such strong leaders in group as well as leaders. I mean, 4 out of our 5 are seniors this year that are wearing letters, but just even the ones that aren't are just really influential players and really solid, people on and off the ice, and character is really important for our culture. So it's just great to see. I mean, they run the room now. They're doing just such a phenomenal job and continue to need to be developed and worked with, but they're great role models, leaders for our team. It's really helped in our success here.
Graham Thomas, our guest here, he's joining us on the line, Varsity Letters again on the air on Province Sports Radio. And we got to ask you, Coach, some of those players who are wearing the letters that are such senior leaders, maybe take us briefly through who some of those girls are this season.
Yeah, so our captain, Stephanie Schottmeyer, she was a co-captain last year with Kaylee Hay, who graduated. So she's been... we have the players vote and as well as the coaches, but she was definitely a standout, standalone kind of captain this year. She can lead by example. She can be vocal. She can challenge. She can be encouraging. She's just got a well-rounded, she's just an excellent leader for us here. And then we have Nicole Saxvik, who's her second year wearing a letter. She's local from the Vancouver area. She's always been a really good, solid, really good player. She's a really quiet player, kind of lead by example type player, really caring, for everybody, cares for everybody on the team and really will do anything for anybody on the team. And she's really come a long way, in her leadership abilities in the last, 6 months or so and coming into this year. So it's really exciting, that way. And, then we have Kelly Murray, who's, she's going to the FISU to represent Team Canada. She's really solid, really solid player. She was involved in the Hockey Canada program. She's at a young age. She's went to Cornell and she transferred here. So this will be her third season with us. And she's accomplished a lot. So she can kind of be one and be a bit of a game changer on the ice or compete level. She cares a lot about everybody on the team, and that's the kind of leader she is. Another one from Ontario is Emily O'Neill. Is a player who's just your classic energy digger, grinder, but has really developed and can put the puck in the end and contribute on both ends. But she's just brings a ton of energy to the bench, energy to the locker room and the intangibles. So she's been just an excellent leader. She's been a leader here for a few years now as well. Everyone kind of brings a little bit of something different as far as our senior leadership group. But those are the four seniors that are wearing letters and some of their strengths.
It's really interesting to hear that, Coach, that you mentioned your Cornell transfer, Murray. You've brought in a couple of transfers this year, and they come in as very mature students and athletes on your team. One from Ohio State, and another as well from New Hampshire. You got to let us know what impact those players are having, who they are. Let us know who they are first as well. Talk about their impact and as well the program's ability to bring in players from high Division I programs into your program here on the Point Grey campus.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. We haven't, in my experience before with transfers, you think you always have to be careful because we've kind of been bitten in the past, to be honest with you, with some transfers wanting to leave or having some skeletons in the closet or whatever you want to say, some baggage, for lack of a better term, coming in or having some difficulties or actually being forced out of a program, right? And so you really got to do your homework on the transfers, and we actually do get a lot of interest. And I think one is they see the success of the program in the last, four seasons and the turnaround and our reputation and the respect level of our, in the hockey community is really increased, and so that's exciting. But then also they look at the academic side of it, right? I mean, you get to live in Vancouver, in one of the the best cities in the world and beautiful city, but as well as you're one of the best academic schools in the world, let alone the country in North America. So I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. Some of them I've known a bit, like Kelly Murray, for example. I coached at a Team Alberta camp and got to know the Murrays and worked out a few showcases when I was in Syracuse, and got to know the Murray family really well. They're from Southern Alberta and from living in Calgary's about a lot of the time, and so that's where I'm from. And so I kind of knew her a little bit, and so when she looked up who was coaching there, when she wanted a difference and a good fit, it was right away. She felt comfortable and looking at our top schools, whether it was McGill or Alberta and us, and it was nice. We had that connection and she knew who I was, and we came out and she really, really enjoyed it here. So I think a lot of this would be our second Cornell transfer. Obviously we don't go out and talk to them, they're approaching us, and I think the academic fit is there for the Ivy Leagues and for the top schools in North America, so that's really helps us. So anyways, I'll quickly kind of go over who else has come in this year. I think since they talked about Cornell, Amelia Bond is a goalie who's involved in the Hockey Canada program as well at the U18 level and played Team Ontario at the U18 level. So a really good goalie coming in, had some injury struggles and also was working in a four goalie rotation at Cornell. So she knows our goalie coach, Pascal Villana, who is with Hockey Canada. And she saw that we were graduating all of our goalies and us and the academics was a fit. So she reached out to us, and it's kind of how she ended up here. And she's doing really well to start the year, a real student of the game. And and for all of our transfers, we do our homework on these kids, like I mentioned at the beginning. You got to make sure that, we don't just jump at whoever because of, some of their hockey background. We got to make sure that we do our homework and research on these players. So, but we've been really, really excited with all of them. And that was our goalie that's transferred, another forward, Cassandra Vilgrain. I know her again from Calgary and from Alberta in the past and tried to recruit her to Syracuse, actually. And she chose UNH. And I think she'd been through two, three coaching changes at UNH in her time there and just wasn't working out and going to her senior year. And so she wanted to, you know, and you can talk to Herbert and some of the things that she's been very open about. She just wanted to be a part of a winning culture and being a part of a culture where she can have fun again and get back to, you know, just playing for the love of the game and contributing, want to be a part of a winning program. So that was part of her reasons for transferring. And she's done really well to start the year here as well. And she was also, these players weren't just any middle of the road kind of 7th D, 14th, 13th forward coming in. Like these players were top players in some of their programs coming in. So it's yes, they're NCAA transfers, but they're also very high-end NCAA transfers, which is nice. And the last one that we have joining us this year is Alexa Ranahan. I mean, and she played, you know, Team Canada, won a gold with Team Canada at the U18 level and went to Ohio State and was a captain at Ohio State. And again, same thing, just having some coaching changes in her time there and just wasn't wanting to be a part of a winning culture and the academics and wanting a little bit of kind of what she sees that UBC has and knowing some of the players on the team. So she reached out to us as well. And so they've been, again, they've been great. They're great leaders. They were two of those three wore letters at their programs coming into this. And so they bring that experience, they bring leadership, and they up our depth and our talent as well. So they've been just excellent additions so far.
That's great to hear. Graham Thomas, of course, on our guest here on Varsity Letters, talking about some of the incoming transfers at the school this year. We'll keep you coached for just two more quick questions here. And first of those two questions is, talk about the momentum created by a CIS silver medal going right to the national championship final last season. What kind of spinoff effects have you seen just in terms of how that's bringing the veterans back and creating expectation for the younger players in your program?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been really fun here at this program to build something and to be a part of history. And we've set history on so many levels, and this group has been a part of changing that. We take a lot of pride in that. And so I think what we did again last year of setting the women's hockey records and new firsts and taking the program to new levels has been extremely rewarding and exciting. But it also, you know, and even on for the men's side too, I mean, we've set, I mean, some hockey records here as well, which is great. And I think it helps for the profile of all UBC hockey. And, you know, for us, we've got great facilities here. We've got a great academic school and we've got a winning culture. So it's been, like I said, really exciting to be a part of building this and give a lot of credit to the players and all their hard work and everything that's gone into changing the culture. So as far as this year and looking up those expectations, we want to just try to take it one game at a time, one weekend at a time, one opponent at a time. We don't want to fall in love with ourselves and get ahead of ourselves. We want to make sure that we're staying humble and we're working hard. And I mean, we got bit on Saturday and we weren't our best, and you got to learn that the Canada West is getting better all the time. In Manitoba, Alberta, picking up transfers, other top NCAA transfers, signing young, really young players, and we're playing in the top conference in my opinion in Canada. So any team can win on any night. It's really hard to do to be a Canada West champion, and so we just got to really focus at that. I know that every team's coming out to get us every weekend, so we can't take a night off, can't take a period off, and so I think that's really our focus right now is just learning those lessons which we had to learn in this weekend as well. So but we're excited about it. We're going to take it one step at a time and try to win that Canada West Championship first and then go on to Nationals and try to get the job done and bring home a first ever national championship would be phenomenal.
Yeah, it certainly would be. We're in the infancy stages of that season, and Graham Thomas is our guest here on the program this week. Coach, games, first off, I'll just jump ahead a bit here. October the 17th on a Monday at Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center playing the Chinese national team. That's an 8:00 start there. But before that, Friday, 7:00, Saturday, 3 p.m., playing the Calgary Dinos, right back to the Canada West schedule. Just talk about the importance of an early homestand here and the performance you need to be, you know, 2-1, and then you would hope 3-1 with the Calgary Dinos coming to town this weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we in Calgary had a good preseason as well. They got a good young class coming in. Plus, they have a sniper, Sasha Vafina, who's a Russian Olympian, who's done really well and is a very good player. And so we've got to take care and not look too far ahead, obviously, and take care of this weekend and Friday night. And then again, on getting that back-to-back consistency. So that's going to be our focus this weekend and not taking any team lightly. And I think we learned that last weekend. And so I think we really just got to respect our opponents and come in and take care of business there. And then very exciting opportunity for all of our players is to play. I know it kind of falls right in the middle of a season. So that's not the ideal situation to be in. I'd like to have that in preseason or some other time, but China is coming through and it's a great chance. And we've played Kazakhstan here, Japan, Czech Republic. This will be our fourth international team that we've had an opportunity to play against. And it's going to be great. It's cultural. It's a great opportunity. It's a good PR opportunity. I know there's going to be a lot of people and there's a lot of buzz around the game. You know, even for getting out in the community. And we're really excited about it. It's going to be, you know, the Chinese, it's amazing how much money and how much resources and that they're putting into their game and trying to for when they host the Olympics. And so there's a lot of Arthur Griffiths is involved and Cliff Ronning, and there's a lot of people that are on their side of things bringing it over, and they're really trying to improve their game and everything. And we have a player who's Chinese, Tiffany Chu. She's a redshirt this year, but she's going to play in the game. So that's exciting piece as well. And we also have a player who is coming in next year, Jenna Fletcher. And she was born in China and she was adopted in here. And we've been talking to the Chinese about they're wanting to recruit some players from Canada and all that. So it's kind of interesting. They're going to be, you know, they're talking to Jenna potentially she's going to maybe skate with them while they're here and looking at Tiffany to potentially maybe play on their national team. So there's a whole bunch of different pieces to this that are really exciting. But so we've got a big three games that we got to look forward to this weekend.
That's going to be fun to watch, Crane. We want to thank you for joining us here on the program. You've made UBC Women's Hockey one of the benchmark programs in that huge stable of varsity sports on the Point Grey campus. All the best. We'll be checking in with you throughout the season, but thanks for being a guest with us this week on Varsity Letters.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And that is the show for this week. We want to thank everybody for joining us again on Varsity Letters. We love to talk BC high school and university sports each week here on the program. I want to thank our guests for joining us, Mr. Richard Scott of the Notre Dame Jugglers, the football team from Vancouver, ranked number 5 in the provincial AAA rankings, as well Graham Thomas, the head coach of UBC Women's Hockey, their big weekend set coming up at the Doug Mitchell Sports Center against the Calgary Dinos. As well, we can't forget the MEI Screaming Eagles Band for their theme music on the program, Generation X. We love to play it at the start and the end of every episode here on the program. Hope you'll join us again next week. Subscribe to us on iTunes. I'm Howard Samura, and for producer-engineer Patrick Johnson, thanks for joining us. We'll be back again with you all next week.